in part two of a series that we started last time. And the title of what we're going through is, it's called Walking in Spirit. All right, go to John chapter 3. John chapter 3, and verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, Ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. Okay, this is the foundational text that we started with. This is the groundwork that we started with. Now Jesus, kind of setting the whole thing up. All right, Nicodemus's background was as a Pharisee. And in fact, he was one of the top-notch guys. Now, he came to Jesus at night because though he knew Jesus was of God and he you know, really knew there was something up here, still, he was like, okay, but I don't want other people to know what's going on. Like, he was still afraid of being known that he was associating with Jesus, so he came at night. And Jesus, when he starts speaking to him about spiritual things, Nicodemus's training was very much in the law and in the physical reality, a spiritualization of physical things. So even when he starts talking to him, he says, look, you got to be born again. He's like, in his head, he starts thinking, okay, how do you climb back into your mom? You know, and so, I mean, because he's just like, it's, you know, melting his brain down a little bit. It's like, how? And Jesus is like, wait, no, I'm speaking to you of a spiritual reality. Now, we've set it up before in some of the other stuff we've gone through, and now getting starting to become a lot more teaching that's been posted. But the spiritual reality is the one that's real. The natural reality is, in actuality, the illusion. So when we speak of somebody being delivered out of the world, it's very much like even the delivery process that someone would go through in having a child. So when you are delivered out of this world, it's literally this being born in spirit out of this world. And if you fail to be delivered out of this world, in essence, you die in the womb of this world. You're stillborn. So you're and what happens if a baby dies in the womb and it stays there? Not nice things. Yeah, Audrey's eyes got all big. She's like, no, but that's what is happening actually to this world. So this world is falling apart. This world is bound over to decay. The world is dying, you know, and those that are in the world are spiritually dead. You have to be delivered out of this world. So now Jesus, when he's speaking to him, he's starting to talk about the necessity. If you're talking about the kingdom, it's a spiritual kingdom, and you have to be delivered out of the power of darkness into the power of light. You have to be delivered from the power of Satan unto God. You remember when we went through here? Let's flip there really quick. Acts 26. I want to show you, because you do have, even though it's all God, in this paradigm, you do have a dichotomy in operation. You have Acts 26 verse 15, when Jesus said, I'll just start at the second part, verse 15 says, And I said, this is Paul speaking, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering Paul, from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. So again, the whole thing, you know, we throw around these terms born again and all this, it's just, most people throw them around and it's like, oh, when were you born again? And what they mean is, when did you say some prayer somewhere at some altar? But most people that say that, they really, one, they don't know what it means, and two, they've never really were born of the Spirit. They just, somebody told them they were because they went through some human Nicodemus style ritual, physicalized it, but yet if you start reading again what Jesus spoke about what it means to be born of the Spirit, you realize, wait a second, these people really never were born of the Spirit. That's why too, if you go to a typical church, you can't make the assumption that the person sitting next to you is out of the power of Satan delivered unto God, out of the kingdom of darkness delivered unto light, because ultimately you're in one or the other. You're either under the power of this world, or you belong to the power of the Father. Now, God's power trumps everything else. So when somebody's in His hand, nothing can snatch them from His hand. But the way that the world is powerful as well. So if you are not in the hands of the one that's the strongest, who is the Father, you don't got a prayer. You will go to the way of the world. You will default to the way of the world because it's got power. It's strong. It's got pull. It draws on your flesh. It draws on your fallen nature. You're stuck. You're stuck in darkness. You can't see. So you have to be. Okay. So back to John chapter 3. So Jesus, when He's speaking, He said, "Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but cannot tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit." So, the people of the Spirit are like the wind. Now you remember when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost? Acts chapter 2 verse 1. "When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Rushing mighty wind, sorry. One of those new Bibles. Rushing mighty wind, and bad joke. "And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues as of fire, and it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." Okay, so when the Spirit of God comes at Pentecost, He comes in the form, again, of the wind. He could have come in a ton of different ways, but these are people born of Spirit, and the empowering of God that comes as well comes in, again, a form in Spirit, but then also in a way that it ties again back into everything that's been said. See, Scripture's consistent and God is consistent, so He gives types and shadows and things like that. So it's all like a big puzzle, and it all fits together how He wants to show you something. So, but it's the Spirit of God also that even kind of leads you through Scripture. You kind of dovetail through, like, oh wait, what was that I read about, you know, wind? Oh, and then He shows you this over here, and then He opens up your mind to see that. See, you can't read the Scripture and receive anything out of it without the Spirit of God, because again, this is a spiritual book. So if somebody, that's why someone can be a scholar, try to read the Bible, and they may know some things about the Bible or the history of it, but they can't receive the Spirit that's in the Bible because they're blind to it. So anyway, so God, speaking of people that are born of Spirit, they're like the wind. they go to and fro as the Spirit of God leads them. Now remember again what this, what Jesus said in John chapter 10. And verse 3, he says, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Okay, so though the people of spirit may seem like they kind of go here, there, and everywhere, and the world can't put a finger on them, they can't thumb them down, they can't figure out what are these people up to, why do they turn away from such opportunities, why do they do this, why don't they do that, but yet Jesus, also speaking about his sheep, say they hear the sound of my voice, and wherever I go, they follow. So people that are born of the Spirit are led by the Spirit of God, the voice of Jesus. They are the ones that follow him. And they don't follow the voice of a stranger. They've learned to distinguish between the two, and they follow on that track. Now, where that leads is very, very difficult. You can't pin them down, because you see, here's the thing about it too. All right, think about, okay, your body, because we're also called the body of Christ, and people have used the term so much, they're just like, oh yeah, the body of Christ. They've used the term so much that they don't begin to comprehend even some of it. All right, inside of your body, a lot of things are happening even right now while you're hearing these words. Even right now while you're here and you're concentrating and God's working and he's ministering to you as well, your heart is beating. If you ate something a couple hours ago, your stomach is kind of pushing that through, your intestines are working to absorb it into your bloodstream, and your respiratory system is taking in air to keep everything going. You have antibodies that are fighting off viruses and bacteria that may be coming in. You have sensories that are working through. You may have a bit of a cold and something's there. You have, your ears are taking in sounds and processing them through your brain. You just start saying, okay, whoa, wait a second. There's a ton happening right now. Actually, my dad was telling me a definition of health is to be unaware of your body. You know, to actually where you're, a good definition of health is where you're in your body, but you're not even aware of your body. So when people get sick, they get sick because they're aware of, oh gosh, I can't breathe, or oh man, my back really hurts, or, ow, I hurt my shoulder. So they're aware of their body. To be in a state of good health is to actually be unaware of your body, because it's doing everything properly and it's functioning exactly like it's supposed to. So now imagine if you had to tell your heart to beat every time it did. So if all of a sudden now it's like, okay, no more autopilot, so you would think, that function of your brain now that is telling your heart to beat, it decides, okay, I'm done telling it, you tell it. And then you're okay, beat, 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 quickly. Yeah, exactly. And it's like, and what happens when you start getting tired, or you want to fall asleep? It'll stop when you stop. And now what happens if you throw in a couple more senses? You have to tell your, at the same time you have to tell your heart to beat, you have to tell your kidneys to clear out some waste from your system, or your bladder to, you know what is, I mean, like, if you had to start managing the conscious side of you, had to start managing the different functions of your body, forget your job.
Impossible.
Yeah, forget. So now the body of Christ, again, can't be micromanaged, the true body of Christ. And how often I have seen people that claim to be spiritual leaders try to manage, micromanage Kingdom of God things. They don't understand it. They do not understand the nature of the body of Christ, they do not understand the nature of God Himself, they do not understand God's people. What they do understand is organizational structures and how to get people in and control them and to use them for some carnal purpose. But the truth is that the people of God are led by the Spirit of God. And what happens is in your body, your kidney's not trying to be a heart. Your liver's not trying to be your pancreas. They are very good at being exactly what they were made to be. Likewise, people of God that are born of the Spirit of God are very, very good at being exactly what God made them to be. So you were designed a specific way. You were created a specific way. You were created with certain gifts, talents, abilities, skills, weaknesses, areas where you're not so great, where you can't pump blood. You weren't designed to be a heart. You know, you were designed to be a great eye. So you were designed with areas that you're not so good at. I know for myself, I've learned some things that I'm not very good at. I'm really happy to know that. I've learned certain things that I really get fulfillment and enjoyment out of doing, and I know some other things that, yeah, I can do them, but I'm not really, it really doesn't do anything for, there's no satisfaction in it, that's part of the process of God working in you and being glorified in and through you, is because you are made a specific way. So now see, the way the world works, collective conformity. So, get everybody on exactly the same page. Get them all in. Here's what your fall fashion is. Everybody's going to wear this. Here is what you need to know. Here's what you need to think. There's a reason they call it mass media. You know, it's to condition the mass. To get everybody to start thinking that the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's a theocracy run by, that you have the head, Christ Jesus, who gives everyone exactly what they need by the Spirit of God, tells them, here's your daily bread, I'm going to feed you this day, and then also I'm going to give you exactly the instruction, what you need to do, where you need to go, what you need to be about. I'll show you day by day. So that is, and every child of God walks in that. Now the world has to have conformity, because the world is this big lumbering giant. That's, you know, even you remember how we were going through those kingdoms and we were going through Revelation, we were looking at some of those things and characteristics about even just, I mean, they're just these big mass beast things. The kingdom of God, God's people are very light, nimble, quick. They're quick to respond to the Spirit of God. They're always in a place where it's like, you know, they're in step with what God's doing. And so whenever it's time for them to check out of this world, it's like, hey, cool, no problem. And it's in purpose. The world dies for no reason at all. You know, there are people just, you know, earthquake here and tsunami there and mudslide here, and just, you know, masses of people just gone like that. God's people are, when they die on purpose. But they never truly die, because it's just kind of like the spirit that's alive within them just gets out of the car, which is your body, and just, you know, transitions. So it's just a hiccup. Okay. But the body of Christ, many, many things happening all at once, many functions taking place all at once. It's nuts to try to micromanage the kingdom of God, the body of Christ. It would make as much sense as trying to micromanage your own body. So part of what we're talking about when we talk about walking in spirit, because this is also a practical set, is of how you do this. But it's also to say, okay, relax, and let each part of the body of Christ do the work and the function that God has created it to be. And each of us allow the Spirit of God to reveal that to us and then walk that out individually. But then as we walk it out individually, you find out, wait a second, God speaks again to all of us. And He will put His body in place to do certain things and certain functions, and everybody brings something even to the table for that. It's so fun for me when I do something with ministry and like God will put together teams for something, and He'll like bring people together for a specific time, a specific task, something. You'll do it and then He just disperses them all again. And they all go back. And you still are one in spirit. You're still connected with each other because of Christ. But it's like, and you keep in touch with each other, but it's like it was for something specific. Like just two people I haven't, that I used to work with in missions from South America, I haven't talked to them for almost a year. And they were just back in Miami for like 2 days, and they were leaving the next day for the Dominican Republic. And we just happened to get a hold of each other. And during this time, we caught up with everything that's going on, talked about some plans for some things up in the future, prayed for each other, just a blessing of prayer. I mean, just the Spirit of God connecting between, I mean, it's powerful. Prayer, time of prayer between us. And they're just about to go off into this work in South America, and they were just like, gosh, it's a beautiful timing, because it's just like, you know, God was even using that to pray for them through some things that were going on their side, and then them for me as well, with where I was at. So it's like, and this is God. This is His people just meeting up, and you don't even have to be in the same place. So it doesn't have to be physicalized. You know, many times God will put somebody on your heart, you know, to pray for, or somebody like that. It's because of the Spirit. He knows what's going on. One joint supplies the need of another. So somebody will be put on your heart because God knows that they need that. And so, yeah, just pray for them. Let the Spirit of God lead you in how to pray for that person. And if nothing else, pray in the Spirit for that person. But God is using you because they may be too tired or too weak right now, or they just may have given up on some stuff. You know, go to bat for them, because they'll probably be going to bat for you as well. Or somebody else was going to bat for you earlier, so that's why you're able to stand now. You know, so the Spirit of God uses all of us in the body of Christ for each other. And no one, again, because we're the priesthood of all believers, nobody has anything special in that God speaks to everybody directly. You don't have to have a mediator between Him and you. That's the curse of the law. Everybody can receive directly from Him. He speaks to everyone directly. He leads and guides everyone directly. And He'll use each other to confirm and to help build up an assurance with what God is already showing you. But that's how He uses each other as well. But it witnesses to your spirit. Okay. Let's go back, I think, a little bit to the first one. I want to go through a little bit of a review here. Okay. So again, if someone is born of the Spirit, they go wherever the Spirit of God leads them. They do whatever the Spirit of God tells them to do. And they live their life in connection and follow Jesus. Not connection to the world, but connection to Christ. So Jesus said, come out from among them. You know, touch not the unclean thing, I'll receive you. And so He come out from the world in your spirit. Be in the world, but not of the world. You can be very much here physically, but spiritually you're seated in heavenly places and your spirit is in connection with the Father. And though your body may be here, because that's the suit that you function in while you're here to get around and to do what God has for you to do, in spirit, you exist in another dimension. And so it's really about His purposes for why you're here. But we live our lives in connection to the Father. Those that are not in connection to the Father are spiritually connected up to the world. So we finished that five-part series on the world. Pretty thorough. I mean, we could have spent another 3 months on that, but I think the main thing was to understand the principle behind it, and then you start understanding the different ways it's manifest. You're like, okay, now I see it. And then you realize, wait a second, I'm also surrounded by it. The only way that you can navigate through this life is in connection to the spirit. You know, Audrey brought up an example last time of a movie that she's seen of just like one trap after the other, where, you remember? You talked about Devil's Advocate? Where how this guy was just like, every time he tried to do something in his own thinking, he just got snagged. The only way you can make it through this life and not fall prey to the traps of the enemy is to walk in connection with the Spirit of God. So when God says left, you go left. When God says right, you go right. When God says straight, you go straight. There's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end leads to death. Proverbs 14. So there was lots of ways that seemed really, really good to you, but if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not on your own understanding, in all your ways acknowledge Him, He'll make your path straight. Proverbs 3. If you try to do it in your own understanding, that movie showed you something. There's some good truth in that. You get suckered. You get pulled into or trapped into another thing. So when you walk in spirit, what happens is God knows exactly what and exactly where and exactly how. And He will maneuver you through the minefield of this world. Because it's like a big minefield. And if you just say, oh, okay, do-de-do-de-do, do-do, oh, it looks good over that way, do-de-do, but God says, one step left, two steps right, go forward here, run a little bit here, stop, wait, don't move. Maybe just says stop right there, and He's just going to blow up a bunch of them all in front of you, and then let you walk through. I mean, it's all Him. So He knows exactly where He wants you to be, when He wants you to be there, what He would have you to be doing, and there's a spiritual reality that's taking place, and it's not even in the doing. See, that's again something that's hard for people to understand sometimes, because the world, you get brainwashed in this from the time that you're born. What do you want to be when you grow up, right? What do you want to do with your life when you grow up? Basically, how will you define yourself by the ways that the world defines itself? But in the Spirit of God, it's who you are, and just your very existence has a spiritual effect. Your very existence has a spiritual repercussion to wherever it is that you go, the people that you would meet, the interactions that you would have. And it's never about the doing for God, because what you would do would be in obedience to Him, but really the results lay in His hands. So because again too, the reason people say, oh, what do you want to do, or what are you going to be, is because then, okay, what are the results that you'll start to see again from all the stuff that you put in? And really, with the kingdom of God, it's not about the results, it's about the obedience, because the results are really God's. And you don't see the long chain. Our lives are just here for a moment. If you look at Jesus' life, if you just took His life, just His life, not the resurrection, anything like that, but what were the results of His life? He gave up His vocation. He was a carpenter. He gave up His vocation at 30 and started walking around for a while, had a big following for a little bit, looked like He might have done something, and then all of a sudden He got crucified, everybody ran away, and He died, you know, with four changes of clothes and undergarment and a few women and John off at a distance. What kind of life is that by the world standards? But by the Spirit of God, now we start to see even more of the picture now, because everything else that happened. The most successful, amazing, impactful life ever that ever will be lived throughout the history of all humanity. And yet, by the world standards, I mean, even there were times where like His family was like, oh, anybody wants to be a public figure, you got to go up to the feast, you got to go do this now and here and then. And He's like, He was always in step with the Father. Jesus said, I only do what I see the Father doing. I only speak what the Father tells me to speak. His life was lived in perfect step with God. And it was an incredible frustration for all the people around him that were trying to get him to do something, trying to get him to be something, trying to get him to be their king, trying to get him to be their tell somebody to divide the inheritance with me, make my sons sit at your right and your left, trying to get something out of him. He's like, look, chill, relax, walk with me, I'll teach you something. So, okay, when we started this series, I want to go back through this again. There were some assumptions that we made for this series, because this series doesn't apply to everybody. You know what I mean? I know so many times people are like, we want to make this for everyone. No, this doesn't, the vast majority of the people in this world, this doesn't apply to. Who it applies to is people that God has woken up. So you've begun the process of knowing Him. You've already started on the way. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And you are on that way with Him. So you have been, the Spirit of God is awakened. You start to see. Your eyes are open. This applies to people that really want His will so that they can do it, not just so they can consider it. So most people, a friend of mine in India said, most people want to know the will of God so they can consider it, not so that they can actually do it. So it's like, oh, what's God's plan for my life? That's interesting. You know, I mean, and it's like, no, I mean, this only will do any good for somebody that's actually, the desire of their heart is to walk out the will of God, the revealed will of God, whatever that may mean. So that also means that this is only good for anybody that's open for whatever that may entail. So you have to be open to whatever God's plan, whatever God's purpose is, whatever He shows you, you have to be open to go with that, and also willing to turn away from whatever it is that doesn't entail something that He says. So that's why too, I mean, we joke about jobs and things like that, but every time when anything comes to me that has anything to do with work or possibility like that, I've gotten into the habit now of putting it before the Father, because I know that that's something that would take an extensive amount of time and energy and put me around certain people and all of that. And God knows exactly where He wants me to be. He knows where He wants me to be, when He wants me to be there, what He wants me to be doing. So it's not about a paycheck, because God had promised in Matthew 6, if you seek first the kingdom, the needs that you have, He guaranteed it. He's like, whatever you need, the need will be there when it's needed. Your natural needs will be taken care of. He's like, I promise you this. Now, if God is going to break a promise, we might as well just wrap up the whole thing. The whole thing is done. And I've tried Him on this thing. I'm like, all right, let's try this. Let's see what happens. And I've seen He's faithful. He's faithful to that. So the work that you would do is not for the natural reward that you would get from it, but it's because it's the work that the Father would have you to do and where you'd have to do to be. Now, with every person, this will be different, because again, every person has different skills, different talents, different abilities, different ways that God's made you. For some people, money is not going to corrupt them. For many people, the deceptiveness of wealth will lead them in a path that will take them away from the walk of spirit. So God, by His grace, will keep many people that are His away from success in this world, as it would seem, because that would lead them down a path and pull them in a way where the worries, the riches, and the pleasures of this world choke them off and make them unfruitful, even as Jesus told us. So He knows what you need. He knows when you need it. And if you can handle it, He's thrilled to give it to you. If you can't handle it, He's also thrilled to keep it away from you. So some things that you may have a desire for, whatever, you always leave it before Him. because he knows what's best for you. And so it's okay to ask. Just be like, God, you know, because Jesus did. He struggled with the reality of going to the cross. When he was in the garden, he was just like, God, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. He didn't, on a natural level, he didn't want to go through it. But the next thing, the very next statement that he made, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. So again, he always submitted his life unto the Father. He always brought it back to him. And when we walk in spirit, we do the exact same thing. We always submit our life to the Spirit of God, and we ask God your will, your plan, your purpose. So it's like, God, I'm thinking about this job. I'm thinking about being practical. I'm thinking about switching to whatever. But you also know where you would have me to be. You also know what you would have me to be involved with. The only work I want to do is that which you would have me to do. So I'm thinking about this, God, if it's not you, show me. If this is not your plan and purpose, please show me. And if it is, please bless it. But nevertheless, your will be done. You know? So sometimes what happens too, like people will be, you know, they'll be like relationships or something, and they'll be like, oh, okay, there's, you know, there's two people. God, which is it? Is it this one or is it this one? You know? And it's like, and the truth is, it's neither of them. You know? What? Yeah. No, but it's like, and so it's just like, you know, just whatever it is, submit it to God. Because again, talking about walking through the minefield, if it's not God, though it looks good, it sounds good, feels good, and you're invited in, it's another place where your life can be stuck, snared. And then you can spend and waste time in this life then trying to fix and to remedy and to mend something that didn't need to be. See, one advantage all of us have in this room is that we still have, we still have, on a natural level, we have a lot of things we haven't, we've yet to thoroughly screw up our lives. You know, we've all made some mistakes, sure. But we've yet to, I mean, we've, in all respect, in all honesty, it's like we've got room to follow God. You know, a lot of people are just like, they're stuck because, you know, God told them no. And they said, no, and then all of a sudden they go down a certain line, they get stuck in something, they've wasted 2 years, 5 years, they're stuck in some, whatever it is, and then they're like blowing some snot at some altar somewhere, and it's like, that doesn't fix it. God told you up front. So when he tells us something, the reason is because he's really does have our best interest at heart. He's not trying to deprive you of fun or keep you from something, or he's trying to keep you from something that'll harm you. That'll be bad for you. Because he's the Father that loves you. But see, he always sees a bigger picture than we do. We only see just right now. You know, he knows. And I tell you, with God, your situation can change in a moment. I mean, I've seen that time and again. Everything can flip. So you can be down in the dungeon like Joseph one day and standing before Pharaoh, clean and shaven and new clothes the next day. And the day after that, you can be number two in the country. And then, just like Nebuchadnezzar, you can be the number one, standing there bragging about yourself, and God, before even the words leave your mouth and your lips, God can say, all right, you know, you think you're hot stuff, and strip you for everything for 7 years. So everything can switch with God. It can go any way that he wants it to. The key is to do what Joseph did and stay true. Don't do what Nebuchadnezzar did and get stuck on yourself. Okay, I digress a little bit. But with being open for whatever this walk entails, this is the third one on this, some of the assumptions, your expectations are set aside and you'll take whatever God has for you. if you're going to walk in the Spirit of God and you're going to walk through life that way, you set aside your expectations for what you would have and want, and you submit them and you put them before God. Yes, you have desires. Of course, God's made you that way. But those are always put before the Father. And you allow for Him to work with that. And so, it's because the blessing of the Lord, He added that He also doesn't add sorrow with it. So it's like when He allows for a blessing or a desire to be fulfilled, there's just this, it really is blessed by Him. It's not just some, okay, now I got that. But it's something that's like, yes, His hand is on that. So, okay. fourth one with the assumptions that we started with last time was that you're committed to walking out your repentance. Basically, you're committed to walking away from sin and with Christ. So, see, the world deliberately embraces a path that's a way for them. For us, it's like anything the Spirit of God would convict you on, you just say, all right, that's good enough for me. God, if it's something that you struggle with or whatever it is, just you bring that again before Him and you say, Lord, this is an area where, you know, I just need your help. But your deliberate decision is to turn away from that to Him. There may be some lingering effects of something, but allow Him to work with that. But your heart is set to follow Him. And you're not going to be weighed down with that stuff. So you want to cast that weight off. Right? And the last one was that we were committed to absolute truth. Because again, Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. So He is absolute truth. So you can't walk out the path of spirit if you're willing to accept a lie. So people that walk out life in truth, walk out life in spirit, walk it out in truth. Because Jesus is truth. So, you know, I keep my radar on, you know, when, especially when people try to speak in positions of leadership, and yet the words that come from them are not true. I'm like, what? They're not walking in spirit, because Jesus is truth. And so and you know what? In your own heart, in your own spirit, it'll resonate. When somebody is in connection with the Spirit of God, and they speak from the Spirit of God, in your own spirit, you'll feel that, just like that peace with the words that are spoken. It's like, ha! You know, even if it's a hard message, even if it's abrasive, it's still, in your spirit, it settles because you're like, yeah, that's true. Yeah, that is from God. And somebody that's not, again, like Jesus said, a stranger's voice they won't follow. They can say the exact same words, but the voice, the tone, the spiritual tone of that voice is not of Christ. You know the difference. So we're being led by the Spirit of God, so we're committed to truth, and because of the commitment to truth, that we follow that. But it's a spirit of truth. You know, somebody can give you truth but do it in the spirit of a lie. There's a difference. Jesus is the Spirit of truth. So somebody can give you truth with the spirit, with a lying spirit. And that spirit even comes behind that, and it'll even creep into that because it's a spiritual reality. And somewhere down the line, then you get deviated off with the lie as well. But you can hear truth from lying people. But the heart is corrupt. The spirit is corrupt. So you're committed to the spirit of truth, which is also absolute truth.
Okay. So like I said, so basically this series is useless to most people. But for the limited group of people, my hope is that I give some tools for those that really do want this, so that they can walk it out. So it isn't for everybody, and I'm fine with that. You know, I've come to this point, you know, where it's like I'm absolutely cool with having a few people that really are committed to walking out life in truth and with Christ and really want to be what He's made them to be. I'm like, if you don't want it, you know, cool, just that's your choice. You know, but know that the kingdom of God was available and that God did make it available and there was a better way. So, you know, I mean, you still reach out every chance that we get and whenever God, but God is also, God has to lead you with that too. I've learned that as well, is that in I'm not going to save anybody. The Spirit of God is the one that saves. No one comes to the Father unless the Spirit of God draws them. So, if I will be able to minister to somebody, anybody, the Spirit of God has to be drawing them. And the only way that I will be able to be used by God in a situation like that is when He quickens me in my spirit that He's working in this person over here, and the words that come through me are His words that minister to them where they're at that moment in time. You see the difference between that and me just saying, okay, now I'm going to go out and, you know, have 100 decisions for Christ today. I'm going to go do that in myself. Well, I might get some people to say some prayer, but, you know, was God drawing them, or did they just go through something? So it's got to be the Spirit of God that leads you. And so He leads us in different activities. Okay. All right. Some other things that we kind of covered last time. This is an individual walk. And in the process of individual expression as part of the body, God uses us in what He's doing in the earth right now. But this is very different than collective conformity, which is the aim of the world and the world system, all of that to ultimately service, you know, Lucifer, which is one fallen angel. So, stupid. And and also, the walk of the Spirit takes you within. Look at this real quick. Luke chapter 17 and verse 21. Verse 20 says, "And when He was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, He answered them and said, 'The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall ye say, Lo here or Lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you.'" So this is Jesus speaking. The kingdom of God is within you. So, as God would lead you, in this walk of spirit, He will also lead you deeper and deeper within. And what happens is, as you go deeper and deeper within, you go, it's like the onion. You know, if you cut an onion through, it's like as you peel away the layers of an onion, as you just keep going deeper and deeper, finally you come to the core. And when you get to the core of who you are, you find that all that's left is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So that's what you keep going through. And so all of the experiences that God will allow you to have as you're walking this thing out in the Spirit, all of the things that He will allow you to go through, all of the pain and the trials and the suffering and all of these other things, and the joys and the upsides and the tremendous triumphs, all of that stuff will take you through this process of going deeper and deeper within, so and past yourself, until what's left is Christ in you, manifest in and through the vessel that you're in. So it's Him. It really is Him, and no longer you. That's cool. And it's a process, though. And you have to embrace that process. Okay. last time, the first part that we got to was that. So we're talking about how do you do this, right? Okay. Now we got to be practical. You know, okay. How do you now walk in spirit? How do you take something spiritual and bring it down to something practical in your life and your existence here? Okay. What we touched on last time was Matthew 16, 24 through 26, where, in fact, I'll just read that and we'll go through it quick. If you want to, you can go through the audio last time and go get the full depth of it. But Matthew 16, 24 through 26, which said that Jesus said unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever shall lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So, so to walk in spirit, again, so Jesus said, if anyone's going to come after me, so if anyone's going to follow me, remember? If anyone's going to follow the leading of the Spirit, if anyone's going to follow Jesus' voice, if you're going to follow him, you're going to have to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So, and we also discussed too that denying yourself is not going without chocolates for 40 days at Lent. Basically, what deny yourself actually means is, okay, God, your way, not mine, every day. Because that's what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus practiced. Denying yourself is simply that. God, your way, not mine. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Not my kingdom come, not my will be done. Because I would, in and of myself, I'd definitely build my own kingdom. In and of myself, I'd definitely have my own thing. My prayer is, Lord, you get on the throne of this life. Your kingdom come, your will be done. I deny myself, your way, not mine. Every day. Okay. That was the first one, right? For how you do this. So God gets the position in your life as Lord. All right. I wonder where my facts. Okay. Now, let me check one thing really quick. Yeah. Okay. Another, here's something though to keep in mind too, alright? As God would say left, as he would say right, as he would say yes and as he would say no, there are times when some things God will say no for now, and then he changes it down the line, because he can do that. I'll give you an example in scripture. Acts chapter 16 and verse 6 says, now when they had gone through Pergamum and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. This is one of Paul's early missionary teams. So the Spirit of God says, don't you go into Asia. Don't you preach the word in Asia. Right? Okay, now go to Acts 19 and verse 10. Acts 19 and verse 10 says, and this continued by the space of 2 years, so that all that were dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus, both Jews and Greeks. So later on, a little bit further down the line, God does set up the way for him to preach in Asia. So at one point in time, the Spirit of God says, nope, don't go there. And there was a certain sequence of events that took place after that, between that time, where certain things that needed to happen, certain people that needed to be involved, certain things, experiences they had to go through, because God was also bringing them through a process of Christ within them, the hope of glory, cutting through some things with them as well. So maybe we don't know all of the dynamics, but God knows exactly what was happening during that time. But one point in time, he said, don't you go to Asia. And then another point in time, he's like, yeah, you got some work to do with Asia. Now, if you get stuck in the way the world relates to things, the world which does this, oh, God said don't go to Asia, don't you ever set a foot in Asia. Because God told you, didn't he? And he did. But the Spirit of God is working and moving and dynamic, and he knows what he wants to do, when he wants to do it. I'm almost astounded with something recently that's coming up in my own life, because it's like something, some areas of even like work where I never thought I would get involved with, because it's secular and it's it's, you know, it's like, I mean in my own head it's like as worldly as I could possibly think of, and it's like, but it's just like seems now like God's putting things together for me to get involved there. I'm like, but then too I start thinking back, if I probably ever got involved with it at any other point in time in the past, it would have completely distracted me or taken me away from all the things that he's trying to do with me. So now I'm like, okay, and what is God doing with this? So it's just to say that when it comes to things that you would do, places that you would go, what you'd be involved with, let it be led by the Spirit of God. And don't make hard and fast rules that you put on yourself because of something that you thought or you heard or something else. Let God speak to you every day. The Spirit of God speaks to you every moment. We're called to pray continually. That whole series on prayer we did. You can go back through it if you need to. The Spirit of God is speaking to you at moment by moment. So you can't get bound into some kind of religious fixation of, okay, here's my list of do's and don'ts and everything's right there on my screen, so now my walk with God has been prepackaged and I can sell it to somebody else. No. You have to walk out life in connection with the Spirit of God moment by moment. Things have been put in the Word of God that are deliberate instructions for you for the sake of walking it out. So there's some things that's like, yeah, okay, flee from sexual immorality. Cool. That's a given. No question about that one whatsoever. I got no problem. It's right there. It's throughout. It's consistent in Scripture. Thank you, Lord. Walk that way. But then other stuff is like, well, you know, do this. Don't do that. Work with this. Don't work with that. Somebody, another example, Mark was a guy that Paul had a problem with. And then later on, he's like, send him. This guy's great for the ministry. He's great for the work. So it's like, even there may be times where, and Barnabas, God told Barnabas, work with the guy. So God tells Barnabas, you work with him. And he tells Paul, you know, and Paul's got a problem with him. They both go off. They're both blessed in the different directions that they go. And God restores the whole thing. So even if you have a disagreement about something with somebody, that's okay. Because just keep your heart right before the Lord, because with time even, God will bring everything back together for those that are walking in step with Him. You'll see the purpose for that. So, you know, it's just like you have to make sure for yourself, all right, in all honesty, God, before you, here's my heart. Keep me and lead and direct me and show me who you want me to walk this thing out with at this point in time. So, in the line of who you'd want to walk this thing out with you, Amos 3:3, we brought this one up. Sandy had an interesting discussion before we got in here that kind of touched on this a little bit. Sandy, you got that scripture? Let me see if I didn't mark it. Amos 3:3. I'm trying to got way too many bookmarks going here. So much stuff. No, it's here. Okay. See, this is why you need to, when you all take your next set of sessions, when you take your sessions, toss in some markers where you're going to go, because then like you don't have to flip and it's very fast. Okay, Amos 3:3. Sandy, go ahead, since you turned there, but I have it too.
Do two walk together except they make an appointment and have a read?
Yep, okay, and I will read it from this one, King James 2. Can two walk together except they be agreed? So now, if you are going to walk in the Spirit, and if you are going to walk out life in the Spirit, if somebody else is going to walk with you on this journey,
what will they have to be committed to? They'll have to be committed to the same thing. If you are going to walk in spirit, and somebody is going, I'm not just talking about marriage and relationships and or just friends. You know, if you are committed to walking out life in spirit, you will have to be and choose and deliberately make a decision by the Spirit of God and allow Him to give you discernment in this as well, to walk, if you're going to walk with somebody, they have to be in agreement and walk in spirit as well. So we went through some assumptions. Are those assumptions shared? Does somebody else have that same track? Have they already made the same decision for themselves in their own heart? If not, how can two walk together? Don't be unequally yoked. We talked a little bit about that. What that? Okay. The analogy: you got one big strong bull and one scrawny little weak bull, and you put them on a yoke together. Well, what'll happen? They just go in circles because one is strong, one is weak, and so just because they're not in the same line, because they're not in the same, you end up just going in circles. And many, many people that tried to start out walking in spirit because they let their lives get wrapped up, they're stuck now going in circles.
Sometimes I think the stronger one is there just to make the other one stronger too.
And but there's a difference between being an encouragement, strengthening somebody, and being there for someone versus, and ministering to somebody versus walking with them and allowing them to be at the core of your heart and in what's going on with you while you're going on this way. So when Jesus sent out the disciples, when He sent out the apostles, He sent them out two by two, you know, with specific assignments, specific empowering. They were, you know, they were on the same track. They were in the same line. They were in the same place when they were doing those things. And when God uses us, He will use you many, many times to bless the lives of other people. But you also have to keep in context what God's role is for you in working with the lives of other people. And if somebody wants, so for me, I'm like, hey, everybody can walk with me. I'm cool. But if you're going to walk with me, here's what it is. Oh, by the way, I'm going to die with Jesus. You know, He said, Jesus said, if anyone's going to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. So I'm on my way to die. I've already died to this world. So, you know, the only way that you'll be able to do that, the only way you'll be able to keep up, is if you've gone, or you're going through that same process. So, I have some amazing brothers in Christ, scattered all over the world. And in spirit, we walk together. Though we don't get to see each other but maybe once a year or maybe once every couple of years, but in spirit we walk in the same way. And so when we meet up, it's just like that. Within 5 minutes we're like on exactly the same page. In fact, not even five, it's like 10 seconds, we're on the same page because we've been walking the same way as well. And even though we've all been growing in spirit away from each other, in spirit we've all been growing as well. And so we're just in line with what God's doing. So it's really cool. Okay. So, okay. So I'm going to give you another one for tonight. Part of this whole thing of learning to walk in spirit is deliberately setting to refine a hearing ear. So deliberately, and a heart to obey right away. So, okay, let me show you something that may shock you a little bit. John chapter 5. John chapter 5 and verse 37. Let me start at verse 36. Jesus speaking, He says, "But I have greater witness than that of John. For the works which the Father hath given me to finish, the same works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father hath sent me. and the Father himself, which hath sent me, hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither, he's speaking now to the Pharisees, ye have neither heard his voice at any time, nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you, for whom he hath sent him ye believe not. Search the scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me that ye might have life. Okay. Speaking to the Pharisees, Jesus said that ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. They never once in their entire existence had heard the voice of God. Ever. Now these are the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel. These are the ones that sit in Moses' seat. These are the ones that Jesus said, look, you can hear the words that they say, but don't do what they do. Because so these are the ones that are in those positions of power, and yet they never once heard the voice of God. So that's why Jesus also called them blind guides. He's like, you guys can't see, and you've never heard the voice of God. So dangerous. Really, really dangerous. How is somebody going to tell you what God said if they've never, ever heard his voice in the first place?
Blind.
And they're blind. And how are they going to tell you this is the way to go when they can't see a darn thing? Jesus, speaking of the spiritual leaders of the nation of Israel at the time, says, you have never, ever heard God's voice. Ever. How is anyone going to tell me this is what God said if they've never heard his voice? Ah! So, the robe didn't cut it. You know, the position that man had set up for themselves and entrenched themselves in and done everything they could to establish themselves there didn't work. You can't fake it. Jesus, the light that came into the world, shone brightly, revealed these guys are cockroaches. They live in the darkness, they've never heard the voice of God, and so they couldn't tell you what God said. So what they did is they searched the scriptures. Because Jesus said, look, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So they're looking in the scriptures. So even when Herod, when the wise men came, when they showed up, and they're like, we're looking for the king, and they even knew. They're like, yeah, the scriptures say he's going to be born in Bethlehem. But they didn't get it. If they got it, they would have saddled up their horses and their donkeys and gone with these guys. Because though they could see some things in scripture as far as what the word said, and though they had some natural knowledge and understanding, they missed the whole point. Because they never ever had the Spirit of God in them. They never ever were able to hear the voice of God. So they're blind guides, blind leading the blind. They can't hear a darn thing. And now these people will stand up and tell you, this is what God is saying. So now, for you, if you are going to walk in spirit, you have to deliberately make a decision to cultivate a hearing ear so that you can hear the voice of the Spirit of God. Now, Jesus said, my sheep know my voice, and he knows those that are his. But with you, all right, so remember John 10, 4 and 5, you know, so his sheep know his voice, they hear his voice, they won't follow the voice of a stranger. So his sheep never, they knew something was up back then anyways. Today, again, his sheep know something's up. When they go on a Sunday and they sit in some place, some box somewhere, and they sit down and somebody stands up and they're like, God, what is wrong with this? I mean, why is it that just like I go and I get so lethargic and tired and I, you know, this person that's speaking is like not ministering anything to my soul.
you know, maybe, oh, I liked the singing before or something, but it's like, you know, I'm just looking at my watch waiting for this guy to get done, and he just keeps talking to me about tithing, and it's like, I mean, because there is no spirit in it. Okay, you have to learn deliberately to cultivate and to make a decision to cultivate your ability to hear. You can work on that. There's some things you can do. You can work with the Spirit of God on that, because okay, there's different voices that are coming to you at any given time. So for example, inside of you, you have voices of, you have the Spirit, if you've come alive in Christ, you've got the voice of the Spirit of God that's there speaking to you. You also have your soul, which is your mind, your soulish thinking that's going on as well. It's like, that's the part that says there's a way that seems right unto a man. It's like, yes, that's the way, but in the end leads to death. But that's the one that tells you, oh, that's the right way to go. It's that soul. It's the one that says, it's the one that functions on natural thinking, natural understanding, and has to be yielded to the Spirit of God. So you have that going on inside of you. You also have your flesh going on inside of you that has memories, desires. You can rub your flesh and it will talk back to you. You can just rub it and it's like, ooh, that's nice. You know, I mean, it's like, it'll talk to you. It'll tell you you're hungry. It'll tell you you're thirsty. So you have voices. There are people that have demonic spirits speaking to them. They feel like they got them speaking in their head. Because, again, scriptures tell us, don't give the devil place. So people sometimes some stuff is just completely unfair. You know, some things happen to somebody when they're a kid or whatever. And so there's just areas where, you know, because the devil doesn't play fair. He's looking for anybody he can latch onto. So something's just, there are just spirits that have gotten access to a person's life one way or another. And then those spirits will speak into a person's mind. So a person will be like, will just have these thoughts come to them. It's not them. It's not theirs. It comes from the pit of hell. There are suggestions. But you have to use, so part of this walk in spirit, if you're going to walk it out, is being able to distinguish, wait, what is the voice of the Spirit of God speaking in me? Which one is His? So that when it speaks, you're like, ha, that is the one that's speaking. Because you have that, those voices all are there. Those are just some of the voices that are going on inside you. The one that you want to hear is the Spirit of God. Let me show you some. Galatians 5. I think we're probably... yeah, we might have to close out soon. We can keep going. But Galatians 5, 17 says, "For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law." So again, the flesh is speaking something opposite to what the Spirit of God is speaking. So you have to make a decision by your free will to yield to the Spirit of God and to turn away from, to bring the flesh under subjection, to give it no place. And so you know that the Spirit is going to lead you in another path. It's going to lead you another way. Externally, you got people speaking to you. You've got God. You've got the devil. You've got workers, people, other things that have been done. You've got God also speaks externally as well. You know, He can shake the world, come in a flash of thunder and lightning. He's the audible voice. He can speak all kinds of different ways. But even when He speaks externally, it'll resonate with the Spirit of God inside of you. But the voice that we are cultivating a hearing ear for is to deliberately hear the voice of Jesus, the voice of the Spirit of God that is leading and guiding you through this world. So next week, Even as we talk about how you do this, we're going to talk about some tools that can help you in cultivating your ability to hear. And this will also bridge into stuff that we've already covered before and help wrap some things together. So we will stop there for today.